Chiv, the mitzvah of Kvura. Kvura and Daf Vav Amud Beis in Sanhedrin. As I was saying, the sugyas in this parak, a lot of them, the hakira themselves come really from the Gemara. The main issues come from the Gemara itself. So Gemara Mem Vav Amud Beis first wants to know the source of Kvura. Gemara has two opinions. Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Shimon Yochai, Minayin L'molinus Mesa She'over Allah B'lo Sase. How do I know if someone does not bury the mace, the lav, is violating a low sase, tamalom or ki kavor tikvirenu. Mikan limolinus a mace, so over below sase. From here we learn the isidiraisa of halonis mace. Ikadami, amrab yochan, mishim yabshimim yochai, remez the kavura minator minayim. Where is the hint? There's a concept of burying the mace. Tamalom or ki kavor tikvirenu. Mikan remez the kavura minator. Here we learn there's a kavura minator. So, I'm not going to go into the issue whether it's deraisa or derabanan. Pashas is deraisa, but it says it's only a remez. A remez is always a lesser level. Maybe not considered one of the minyan hamitzvos, perhaps. We saw the lashon remez used in the context of the isra yichud. Is that deraisa? Is that derabanan? And according to the first opinion, who says the word ki kavor tikarenu is used to teach us a halonis mace, the isra halonis mace, maybe there's no source at all for the kavur. Okay, not our issue. Gemara records a story. Amalei Shvur Malka leRav Chama Kavura Minator Minayim. Shvur Malka wanted to know from Rav Chama, is there a source in the Torah of the mitzvah of Kavura? Ishik v'lo amar lo mideh. He stayed quiet, didn't respond. He didn't know what to say. Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, when he heard such a thing, he said, Imsar alma b'yodet t'tivshay. The world has been given over to the hands of idiots. Z'ibayle l'meymar. He should have answered, ki kavur. He should have said the source. So clearly, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov thought it was deraisa. And Rav Chama responds, "Dile avid le aron tikvirenu." I said, "Dile avid le aron." No, they would have thought that the goyim would have thought that it meant kikavor, meant to bury it in the aron, not necessarily in the karka. Then Gemara says tikvirenu. What about the double lashon tikvirenu? Lo mashmalei. They don't read double language as additional reboy. So they wouldn't have thought that was the source. Well, maybe the name of Medikvar Tzadike, maybe the fact that Tzadikim, we know, are buried, the Gimel Avos, the Imahos, Minhaga Ba'alma. No, that's just the Minhag Olam. Not because it was a chiv or a mitzvah, that's just what everyone else did. They didn't want to do anything different from the Minhag Olam. Well, maybe Medikavri HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. Well, we also know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he buried Moshe. If Hashem was doing it, it must have been a mitzvah. The lo lishtani mi minhaga. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also doesn't change the Minhag Olam. Whatever the Minhag Olam does, he follows suit. Tashem Avisaf Du Lo Kol Yisrael V'Kavro. So the Pasuk says they buried him. Du Lo Lishtanim V'Minhaga. They also buried him only for the purpose of not changing what the minhag was. Lo Yisperdu Lo Yikvuru L'Doman Apnei Adama Yu Du Lishtanim V'Minhaga. No, so they shouldn't change from the minhag olam. Okay. So there's no real source, at least according to the what they would have thought. No good response would have satisfied the Shevet Malka. Yeah.
Right. That's what I was going to say. According to Tikvarenu, Rashi says it's one mashmalay to the Shavar Malka, which means that it, and we thought that that means that it's still a valid drasha, just in context of the conversation.
Yeah.
It doesn't work, but it would actually be a good source.
Yeah.
I forgot some other Rishon said it was that he didn't think thought it wasn't a good drasha to begin with. That's why.
Interesting. Okay. The discussion, anyways, whether it's deraisa, whether it's derabanan, whether it's a good source, whether it's not a good source. But let's get really to the ikar behind. Everyone agrees there one should do kavura. Whatever the source may be. Yeah?
No, just the Gemara in passing mentioned the need, seemingly the Araisa, that everyone agrees that need the Araisa for an Aron.
No, just mentioned that the Shavar Malka would have thought the Pasuk was referring to an Aron. Not necessarily, though, that was needed.
Okay, but the Gemara clearly puts credence in his words, though, no?
Chavis Yar doesn't think so. No, I'm saying it's not clear. It's a discussion. Wow. The Achorim discuss, we'll get to that at the end, if not today, Sunday. Okay. We'll discuss whether one should bury in the Aron or Dafka directly in the Karka. But they talk about this Gemara. The fact that it mentions it shows maybe there's an idea to bury in the Aron. Others say no. It was only trying to explain from the perspective of the Shavar Malka, but not necessarily that there's an Inyan at all. So we'll get there either today or Sunday. The Gemara gets to the root of the issue. What's the reason why should one be buried? Ibarilu. Whenever there's an Ibarilu, it's a very lomdish shaila. A real deep reason. Not deep, but reasoning behind it. Ibarilu. Kavura mishum bizyonahu o mishum kaparahu. Is the purpose of kavura to prevent bizayon, or is it to accomplish, to achieve a certain level of kapara? L'may nafkamina, what's the difference? What's the nafkamina? D'amar lo ba'ina l'likvare, l'hu gavre. If he says, I don't want to be buried. If it's because of a bizayon, which we'll have to define, local kamina, it's not in his jurisdiction to reject that. Other people are going to get mizvazet. The amrit mishim kapara, but if it's because his own personal kapara, who amar lo kabina kapara? I don't want kapara, so he doesn't get kapara. Interesting side point. Rashi says, and if he says he doesn't want kapara, and you would bury him anyways, he wouldn't get kapara. Yadarma argues, says no, that if you do bury him anyways, he will achieve kapara. And that just question being, I think I mentioned it yesterday, how much jurisdiction does someone's guf have over the neshama? The neshama needs a certain tikkun, and it's going up to shemaim. I don't know how these things work. Rashi thinks he has full control over it. If I don't want kapara, this neshama is going to be left without a kapara. Yadarma thought, no, the neshama is not mine. I'm borrowing it. It's temporary. The neshama needs a tikkun. It's my job to be sacking the neshama in this world. If I don't want kapara, I don't have that choice. The point to Meir, as Meir knows these mystical, deep ideas. Actually, I'll just tell you quickly, I completely aside right now, fascinating. I saw Shai Shechti yesterday in YU, and he showed me this interesting piece from the Hakdama of the Eim Banim, I think, Eim Banim Smecha, I think he was showing to me. Dvar Libutz, he gave it, so I'm not sure if you mentioned this, maybe you remember this from last year. It's talking about the waiting for Mashiach to come. Martin Sanhedrin, I think, was Sadi Tess, that we're waiting for Mashiach, Hashem's waiting for Mashiach, so if everybody's waiting for Mashiach, what's holding us back? So he explains that it's not so pasha Mashiach, it's just come. HaKadosh Baruch has to do it in a very sneaky way. What does that mean? The Katregim upstairs, the ones preventing the goodness happening, I don't know why HaKadosh Baruch doesn't overtake it, but if HaKadosh Baruch wants to instill a good neshama, a tzaddik in this world, and if he places it within another tzaddik, meaning, why is Avram created from, why would he come from Terach? Why come from Terach? The one who sold the Avodah Zarah. Because if the neshama of Avram was placed in another tzaddik, the upstairs, the lawyers upstairs would say no, they'll prevent him from being created.
Cheating.
They said no, we don't want this. They don't want any good in this world. So once they see like a tzaddik producing another tzaddik, they're gonna prevent that neshama from being created. The Kadosh Baruch Hu has to place these neshamas quietly, secretly in the neshamas of the evil. Of Terach. And this way they don't know. Right, so I don't know how those things work, but oftentimes it happens. So he says, so too, that's why Malchus Beis David came from Yehuda and Tamar. Yehuda and Tamar, a father-in-law and a sister-in-law. This makes sense. The Ramban explains based on Nibum. The Midrashim, the Sfarim Kedoshim explain no, because they had to trick. They had to trick the lawyers upstairs. Say, you see Yehuda and Tamar, nothing's going to be created here. And now comes the Malchus Beis David. So when Mashiach comes, it needs to be, and we're not advising people to do averos, but it has to be averos and things have to happen that are bad in order to allow Mashiach to come in. That's what he was saying.
I don't know if it's true at all, but I heard this.
Yeah?
That there's a group of people that do averos on purpose.
Yeah, it's the Sabbateans.
not they do averos on purpose.
Hey, wild. Okay, but, completely side topic.
Can I have a comment?
Sure.
I've heard the idea before, and also in terms of Lot and the two daughters, and Rus came from
that's
Malchus Beis David.
Okay, so back to our topic, more down to earth topics. Sanhedrin.
Under earth, rather.
Under earth, very good. Okay. So the Gemara raises the question, is it Mishum Bizayon or Mishum Kapar? And the Gemara brings one nafkamina of if the guy doesn't want the kavura, if it's about kapara, well, he could say, I don't want the kapara, but if it's about bizayon, he doesn't have such a right. So the number of the nafkamina is that the Gemara does not necessarily address that are related. So one of them is found in the Gilyon Yashas. Anybody see the Gilyon Yashas? No. Gary did? You want to say it? Interesting Gilyon Yashas. So if you guys see the angle right here, that L'chora, if it's about kapara, if kavura is mishim kapara, it's a mlocha shetzricha l'gufa. So he quotes the Bahag first. Bahag says that kavura on Shabbos would be mlocha she'ina tzricha l'gufa. It's not tzricha l'gufa. And Gideon Eshaz writes, well, that's the case. So you should answer the shailer and say that kavura is not mishum kapara. So what does that mean? Kapara is for the body himself. That's mlocha she'tzricha l'gufa. You're doing the kavura for the a certain inherent accomplishment. It's bizayon. Bizayon is an outside, external factor. Okay, we're making a certain assumption about bizayon, but right now bizayon is about the other people, whether it's about mishpacha or whoever else. So, if it's about bizayon, it's melacha shein tzrich legufa, and that's what the Bahag writes. And the Yosef Engel says, well, if that's the case, it should be, we should paskin that kavur is mishum bizayon. So basically saying another nafkamina is whether you would categorize this on Shabbos as melacha shetzrich legufa or ein tzrich legufa.
Do we say kavura on Shabbos is mutter?
No, it's not mutter. He's just saying if you were to do it, it would be considered melacha shein tzrich legufa. You may not, you know, there's a machokes or Yehuda or Shimon chayiv or not. But how to categorize it and whatever other ramifications that may lead to.
I didn't follow the logic. Why do we say now that it, because it's mal shein tzrich legufa, there we must pass him that it's mitzvah
bizayon. Because if it's bidim kapara, it's the kapara that the mace himself receives, that would be mlacha shetzrich legufa.
Okay.
The kavur itself is for some internal reason. Bizayon, however, kavur is for the purpose of bizayon, some outside factor, that would be mlacha shein tzrich legufa. You hear that point?
Yeah.
So now the Bahag writes. Bahag writes that it's mlocha shein tzrich legufa. That's what he says.
Kavura is a mlocha. Oh, okay, fine, gotcha.
So he just wanted to know if that's so pashut. So the Gemara doesn't seem to say that.
And what does it mean by internal fact to the body versus soul?
So Yosef Engel himself responds, Kavura midin kapara, mishum kapara, may not be tzrich legufa even. He assumed originally it was. Because tzrich legufa maybe it's really for the nefesh. And the nefesh is separate from the body and maybe still... According to both stadim, would be mlacha shein tzrich legufa.
There are a kabbalistic
fear today. Kavura is even more deeper things than this. So then he says, well, maybe it's possible. And then he says at the end, it's possible, maybe it is a good answer. Maybe it really is a good answer, the Bahag, we pass like the Bahag. The Gemara just didn't want to bring a raya from these Amoraim. He brings other sources that this is true. All right. They could have answered this way, they just didn't want to answer this way. Another shaila, which I think relates to this, is something discussed in the Kovitz Shurim, the Hagos Rabbi Kvi Eger, Mesher Chachma. What does Mesher Chachma say? Anyone see that? Nope. I know Gary did. Gary's staying quiet today.
No, I did not.
You didn't? Oh, you brought it to me. Well, then I appreciate it. So, Mesher Chachma, Meir Simcha, in Parsha Kiseitze, what's the lashon ki kavor tikvirenu? What does that mean in general? When you have a double lashon, what does that mean in Gemara? Not emphasis. The Gemara was surely berim, right? But what's the halachic ramification of that?
Rivoy.
Do you know what I'm saying? What do we learn from that? That if he gets unburied, to bury him again. Surely bury him over and over. Yeah, feel mad palm him. We have this law in Bamatzias a couple times, Hashav Tishivim, to return the Hashav's Veda, even if he keeps losing it.
Okay.
You have to do it over and over again. So Mesher Chachm learns from Kavor Tikvirenu, Afil Me'apamim. Over and over again, one must do this. Hagos Rabbi Kivi Eger on Evne Ezer also writes the same idea, talking particularly about a husband and a wife. I think the wife is unburied. Did I bring it here? May I just look it up quickly here? Ebenezer Simon Peites. Yeah, Peites. Oh, I brought. There it is.
This relates to the issue we gave last year.
Very good. Are you looking at your own nose?
Yeah. No, I just remember.
Very good. I gave this year, the second share I gave to you guys last year, in the beginning of the year, of the third this year, was Parsha Kayasara on this very topic. Slightly different, organized differently, and here we're actually coming directly from the Gemara, learning the Gemara, but there's a lot of overlap, yeah. So if it's repetitive, I apologize. So Rabbi Eger writes, let's go, that you're chayv lekovri, there's a chayv to bury your wife who dies. People removed her from the kever. The shita aruma left her out there naked. According to Tashbates, you have to go ahead and bury her again. Similar to the Meshech Chachma, kavor tikvavenu, afil me'apamim. Whether or not this only applies to wife with Rabbi Kiv Eger, well, he says, but other dinim, look at Tashbates himself. Now,
isn't
Gemara never about ki kavor tikvavenu?
You're just saying we know from the system that
exactly. So the Kovid Shurim in Beta, where is it? Yes.
The Gemara doesn't mention anything. The Gemara talks like Kovid Shurim doesn't mention that as
a. No, you're right. So you're saying the fact that it doesn't mention it must be it's not a true drasha.
There are other opinions that say otherwise.
Right. So it's a good question. So then you could raise, is every single drasha that should be made, is that actually made? Some things are left up to us to infer from other areas. But you're right, I'm not sure if the drasha would discuss this. And why can't I locate this Beitza? Here we go. So in Beitza, Os Chafei, Rav Chanan Wasserman, talks about Krura al Yidei Nachrim. Nachrim. So the halacha is that on Yom Tif we paskin that you're allowed to have a Yisrael could be buried on Yom Tif ayidei goy. That's the halacha. And it's not better. Maybe you'd say made it better to wait till nighttime and have a Yisrael buried. So it's clear that the mitzvah, you're mekayim the mitzvah even ayidei goy. And we don't say ein shlichas l'nachri. Isn't there a concept of ein shlichas l'nachri? I have an obligation to perform kvura. How could I appoint a shliach for nachri? Ein shliach l'nachri. We don't say that. It's a good mitzvah of kvura. Why? Why is that true? So the same thing exists for bir chametz. I can perform bir chametz ayidei goy. So too straight fast bas kohen. If you have to bas kohen is mizana, she has to get burned. You can also perform that ayidei nachri. So what's the reason? Why could you do all these mitzvahs, Bir Chametz, Reifas, Bas Kohen, and Kavura, Smeis, Adi Nachri? So Atam L'Cholzeh, the reason behind this, this is always enough for me to use in this type of Chakira. Mishim Deguf HaMitzvah, HaHitotzah Samaisa. It's all about the result. How it gets done, we don't really care. Me, Goy, doesn't make a difference. V'lo HaMaisa Mitzvah. The Ikra Mitzvah of Haruge Bezdin, what's the Ikra Mitzvah? It connects to another sugi we discussed. I should have brought this earlier. I just didn't know it at the time. I don't remember it at the time. The whole reason why we do Haruge Bezdin is a Biyar Taharami Kirbecha. Maybe we saw Rav Chanan talk about this in Kovas Aras. Maybe we discussed that. It's about Biyar Taharami Kirbecha, like the Ramban says. It's all about the result, getting it done. Whether it's this Misa or that Misa, get them killed. We point out the Rambam thought, no, there might be an Indian, the actual mice, the misa you're using. That might be very important also. But what he says is, whenever it's a din in the totsah, you could use a nachri. When it's a din in the mice, you can't use a nachri. So therefore, what comes out is that kavura sameis is all about the totsah. And therefore, if it gets unburied, the mace gets unburied, you have to rebury him, because it's all about the totsah. So I didn't see anybody who says if they get some buried, you don't have to. I think Achram do discuss it. I just don't see it this time in my notes I had from someone. Others discuss that, no, you mekayim the mitzvah if you do it one time. If the mace gets unburied, there's no chiv anymore. I think a sefer from a Kor Baruch quoting the Chavetel Sashon discussed this in Chayesara. I don't remember. So what's this machlokas about? Whether it's a din of the mice or a din of the tzotzah? I think it connects to the previous issue. Any suggestions? Yeah, you got it, Jake?
Since we did Bizayon, then might say you probably have to rebury it again, you know, because it's like laying out there. It's all like, you know, like say according to Rashi, that's all, you know, like all rotting. But if it's in Kapara, then might say the Kapara isn't like a Kapara that's like Nimsheches. It seems like it's just like a one-time shot, and like once you do it, you get your Kapara.
Exactly. Now, Yesh Lachor on that side, Midin Kapara, it's possible that maybe Kapara is not achieved simply from the initial Kavura. Maybe you need more time for the Kapara to proceed, I guess. Yesh Lachor. But simply, Lachor, I would just say exactly how Jake just said. Say 1 second, Yoni.
Wait, he's saying that the burial itself is a Kapara, and once it happens, the Kapara is done?
Yeah.
That's not what I
assumed. You thought it was like a longer process.
Yeah.
It's possible to say that. I could see it one time placing it, Rashi says, when you place it in the kever, that the havelei kapara b'hatmanazu shemoridinu mashpilinoso b'tachtios. You place it down deep in the ground. So yesh lachor, if that initial maisa is the kapara, which Jake was suggesting, which I thought lachora, but I also wrote, well, it's possible though, like what you're saying, has to be there over the course of months, years.
Didn't we say it was about the whole decaying thing?
That's Bizayon. That's not necessarily Kapara, but I could see that being Kapara also.
No, I was going to say before, they were trying to make it sound like whatever Gavin Rashi is like, Shemash feeling, whatever you like, you do, it sounds like you do the act of bringing him underneath. Rashi says you read them, him, and like once you get to that state, like whatever Gavin Rashi says, it used to be like this great, or Ron says you used to be this great person, and now you're under the ground. So like, that, it sounds like whatever, that's what I was going to say, you're pointing to that Rashi as well, that sounds like the fact that you're Mori, that is what is like, to the Kapara, because now it shows that you're lower than like we used to
but
be.
Is that just a one time thing, or you have to be maintained there and you have to stay low? That's what they're arguing about.
Where do we ever say that Kapara is something that takes time, I'd say, like, you know, for like we say like Mises based in, I mean, that's
you
like
had him 12 months, 11 months, whatever it is, you know.
No, we say you're in Gehenna for that time.
What are you
we
doing?
We say that maybe at the last second, that's when the Kapara is achieved. It could be that that's just a hechi timsa to achieve that Kapara.
Okay. I don't know. These things are...
Like tshuva, like, you know, we...
Tshuva might be different than Kapara, though.
Tshuva also might be tshuva, a process, tshuva. Though. But tshuva is a process, though, according to the Rambam, I think. Seder tshuva. It's not just like the one time, the final act. It's a whole process of working on yourself.
Okay.
Okay, now, one other nafkamina that relates to this, I believe, is found in various Rambams. Look at various Rambams, you get a different impression. Now, I didn't have a chance to really pin down Shittas Rambam, I'm not going to discuss it. But if you look at the Rambam Sefer Mitzvah, where it's Asay Reish Lamed Aleph, he tells us that in addition to there being a Chi of Mitzvah on the Haruge Bezdin, there's also a Mitzvah of Shar Mesim as well. And this is Kavura, to bury any dead. You get that same impression when you read the Rambam Hilchos Avel Yud Beis Aleph. Rambam writes, he's discussing this din, that Im Tziva Shelo Yikvar, if the mace says, I don't want you to bury me, Ein Shomim Lo, he paskins, we don't listen to him. Shakvura Mitzvah Shenemar Ki Kavur Tivkarenu. There's a mitzvah in the Maisa Kavura. However, you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Avel Perek Yudalid. It's a very famous Rambam here. He says, "Mitzvah Aseh Shel Divrayim." There's a mitzvah there, banon of Levaker Cholim, Ulenachem Avelim, Ulehotzia Meis, Ulehachnis Akalu, Ulevos Haorchem, Ulasuk Bechol Tzarchek Vura, Lostis Al Kosev Leilech Lefano Lispor Lechpor Ulikvor. All these things is bechal gemilus chasadim, writes the Rambam. In that list is kavura. Apa pi she kol ha mitzvos elu bidivrayim. Even though they're all the rabban, which I just listed, harehin bechal vehaftel reyachach mocha. Still under this broader category of vehaftel reyachach mocha, but he lists kavura as a din the rabban. You get a similar impression in the Rambam also in Hilchos Sanhedrin, perek tes vav alachaches. I'm right. Mitzvah Aser Lukvor Es Kol Haruge Basin Bayom HaRiga. So someone make a critique. He's only in talking about Haruge Basin here, but no other ones. But it's pretty clear in the Rambam Hilchos Avil Perek Yidal, he doesn't include other Mesim under the Chiv Deraisa. Had to deal with the Rambam, the Shagat's Ari we spoke about yesterday, and the Shuvos Chadashos Simon Vav discusses this, others as well. But just simply raising the question, the Minchas Chinuch raises the question, he says you get a different impression from different Rishonim. Does the Mitzvos Aser Kvur apply to Shar Mesim, or it's limited to Haruge Basin? So what would that Machlokes be about? So Chora, if the whole reason of Kavur in the first place is Mishim B'Zayon, so my Afkamina where it's the Haruge Bezdin or Stam Mace. If a Mace left out their lying there, it's going to be B'Zayon. You should have to bury it. If it's Mishim Kapar, though, Yeshlachkor, that only the Haruge Bezdin, which required the most amount of Kapara, only they're going to achieve the Kapara. Only a Kavur for them serves as a Kapara. For a Stam person who dies, Kavur is not going to be a Kapara. They may achieve Kapara in other ways, but Kavur itself may not be the Kapar for them. Now, of course, you could Yeshlach, or no, Kavur should be Kapar for everybody, and I just don't know why you would ever say Kavur would not be mitzvah to any other Mason. Meaning, right? If you're of the opinion that it does not apply to other Mason, which your Radvaz thinks on the Chuvos, why would that be? If it's Mishum B'Zayon, it should apply to anybody. If it's Mishum Kapara, so the Chavur, everyone needs Kapara. Elamai, maybe the Kapara achieved the Kavura, maybe limited to Haruge Bezdin, not anybody else. That's what I could suggest. I don't know any other approaches to it.
I mean, like, maybe to the opposite, that the fact that these armies of Bezdin are so gruesome. You know, people are going to be like, whatever, dismembered or what, you know, all these different types of situations, you know, heads cut off. Maybe in that situation, there's a greater desire for to leave him, out in the open, not buried. You know, Mashiach came by like a stopping person who dies. You know, it's not like a crazy design. He's just like a person who just happens to not be living.
I hear that. Interesting. So the two questions I would have in that, one is the case of Srefa, we only pour hot lead down their mouth, there wouldn't be anything visible from the outside.
No, but I mean, you have to do like the whole thing with the sudar around the neck, and you have to
But at the end of the day, I don't know if it's going to be gruesome. I hear with Skula and with the Saif and with Chenek. Chenek also, I'm not so sure if that will either. You choke the guy in his neck, well, they have a little ring around his neck. I'm not sure how gruesome that will look.
Well, maybe it's just a bizarre to the fact that these guys are committed to all these, different Averos, and therefore it would be a bizarre to leave them unburied. Not because of how they look, just because of the actions, that they did. Kind of like the time for the last.
We have to get into it, start defining what's the problem of Bizayon. And that might help some of the questions, but yeah. Okay.
What was Ram in the Seder Mitzvos?
What was Ram? He said it applies to Shar Mesim also. Okay, so now with the next few minutes we have, let's go through the various shitas of what is the Bizayon, who is the Bizayon is to. Who gets embarrassed? Who gets this Bizayon? So Rashi tells us, we have two different impressions from Rashi. Rashi di Ramaskal O, not O, rather, Mishum Bizayon, who? He says, Shelo yizbaze le'ein kol, sheiruhu meis v'nirka v'nikfka. Who's the Bizayon towards? Anybody who sees him, l'chor. That's what Taras Adam says explicitly. Taras Adam, the Ramban's favorite Taras Adam, he talks about Dini Avelis. He says it's a bizayon for the entire world. That's the impression I get from this first Rashi. Another Rashi, Dibur Maschio Lav Kol Kamine, that it's not in his jurisdiction to reject the Kvura. Dibizayon Hu Lakrovav, his relatives are going to get embarrassed. So he doesn't have the ability to be mochel in the kava. So there he says the bizayon's to the krovav. The Tosa says the same thing in Dirmaso Kvura, like Rashi, the second Rashi. The bizayon's not the bizayon of the mace, other bizayon to mishpachta. And then he kind of pulls back a little bit and says, well, there's a certain level of bizayon when it comes to the mace if he's not lying down bechavon on the mita. So he's starting to give in a little bit. There is some bizayon to the mace. So right now, Rashi, two impressions, either Bizayon to the entire world, Bizayon to the Krovav, Rashi is Bizayon to the Mishpachto, and Bizayon to a certain extent to the Mace. Anybody see Rav Meir Simcha? Can find it, alright. Rav Meir Simcha has a very interesting definition of Bizayon here. You think it's Pasha Pshat, and I hear it. It's near Pasha.
This is on
Sanhedrin, yeah, on Shas. It says, near Pashit, the Dikara de Kvura, Nafkale Michi Ki Kabar Tikvrenu, Dikhsib Magadif. The source of Kvura is learned out from Magadif. And the Bryce, the mission, the Bryce explained the reasoning is because of the twin brothers, and the twin brothers, that's why you don't leave them hanging up there, Yisra Batalin. Because it's going to be a problem of telling the Lakim. Right, Meir Simcha, Kain Kavura, Mishim Bizyono, Litzel Melokim. That's the Bizyono. It's Bizyono of Karsh Baruch. Litzel Melokim lying out there. Just like the previous Sugya. It's not a new Bizyono to the Krovav, to themselves, to the Mishpachto, to the world. It's Bizyono, Litzel Melokim. A great pshat, I thought.
Does that mean the Mace himself, or does that mean to Borel?
To me, Barolam, that's how I understand it. Yeah, I think so. And once you say this, you could also say the Bizayon could be because the Chil Hashem that could be produced also. The two reasons we had for Baal Talim. Now the Ran says a little more emphatically than Tosfos that Bizayon also occurs af to the Mace. Even the Mace gets a certain amount of Bizayon. I know we're just listing a number of definitions, but just fascinating at the range, and there will be an Afkmin and we'll get to it. And just finally on this list, I think we have, five different sheets? This will be the fifth one now. It's a Bizayon to everybody, Bizayon to the Mishpachta, Bizayon to Tzel Melokim, Bizayon to himself, and that tells Yom Tov quotes a Kolbo and Avos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Zayin. Kolbo says, let's get a hold of this.
Kolbo is not in
the Mishnah. No, the Toz Yom Tov, I'm not sure I think I put it on your. He quotes the Kolbo. Quotes the Kolbo here. Shekosav betam akvura, shumipnei shekoshal nefesh. It is difficult for the nefesh kishetira haguf mizvaze umutab likvura. The nefesh gets embarrassed and disgraced when it sees the body it's been living in sitting out there unburied. Okay, it's too deep for Gary.
Not so crazy.
I know you like that point already. In Lach Hashem Tzichel Gufa, you're all over that, the nefesh and the guf.
Believe in the soul.
So the one nafkamina that comes from these different reasons is really brought in the Ran. The Ran says that are you allowed to force the Yorshim? Let's say the Yorshim do not want to bury their mace. The Yorshim do not want to bury the mace. Can you force the Yorshim? Can you take money out of the Yorshim and force them to bury the mace? So when do you force the Yorshim to do things? When the din, if the din, let's say the kvur is because of the mace. The mace can't help himself, so the responsibility falls on the shoulders of the Yorishin. But if the reason Kavur is only for the Yorishin, if they decide they don't want to bury it, it's up to them. You can only force the Yorishin when it's for the purpose of the mace, and the mace can't do anything about it. So the Ran says, since the Kavura is because of the Bizayon that the mace receives, the mace is getting embarrassed and disgraced sitting out there, lying out there dead, unburied. And the mace cannot do anything about it. In that circumstance, writes the Ran, you force the Yorshim to pay for it. But if, however, you say, he doesn't say all this, but if, however, you say that the Bizayon is to the other people, it's to the Krovim, to the entire world, perhaps even to Tzel Melokim, so then you cannot force the Yorshim. You can only force the Yorshin again once it's for the purpose of the mace himself. Because the mace is helpless. His purpose for anybody who's alive is up to them. If you are embarrassed by seeing out there, so do something about it. But we can't force you. Okay, so maybe we'll stop here. And tomorrow we'll discuss the particular issue of burying in the ground, in the Aron, which we spoke about last time. A number of various interesting reasons and explanations why you can or cannot bury in an Aron or not.